Big C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, and of course, you have the famous Alec Medford. Alec, how the heck are you doing today, man?
I'm doing amazing, Kevin. Thank you for asking.
Are you aware of what a monumental day today is, though?
Yeah, I got the all of Dallas email. You know it's important.
Yeah.
Whenever you get the big boss email.
Because, oh, man, it is Corey Major's birthday, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I really appreciate that. And for my birthday, and for everybody out there that's been listening for a while, I want to apologize. Corporate has not come through with our email list yet so that we can torture Kevin. However,
yeah, there was a little bit of they had some thoughts about our process.
They
there.
Were concerned about what I might send out is all I'm saying.
Man.
There. Yeah. Oh man. And I was like, I'm just going to send out stuff from Jake's and, you know, Whataburger and Men's Tea. Oh, that's all I'm going to do is send out coupons. But
what?
Yeah. My question is, the big boss sends out an email every year for everybody's birthday. Should I now reply all to that email?
Please, God,
and then
no.
Ask everybody in the company to kindly reply all in order to irritate Kevin. Because now that is Kevin's worst nightmare, is that everybody's in on the bit and his inbox completely fills up. And this is just for my birthday, all right? I'm not asking for everybody's birthday, just mine.
Alec, I'm in a tough spot here because I think it is reasonable to try to facilitate request that you can for somebody's birthday, as long as they don't infringe on other people and they're possible. This is possible. It doesn't actually infringe on me. It just irritates me. And so I think Corey should be able to get his wish, but he saw when I was even sending out one email, the second an email came into my Hotmail that wasn't relevant, I had to delete it. And he goes, you could have just left it. And I said, no, I could not have.
We were doing something else. He took the time. We had little time too. He rushed Mike off the phone earlier so that we could get work done. He was like, Mike, we have to do work right now.
That's the same noise that Mike made. I go, we have to get back to work. And he goes, aw. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Mike. We really got a boogie.
So, yeah, that red light comes on at 10 o'clock, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good job to do.
So
I think there are lots of opportunities out here today.
I actually think that is a reasonable request if that is what you want to tell the people, and you can kind of watch me slowly go mad.
Yeah. I feel like you have no power today.
That is true. We could potentially make several adjustments to the run sheet today to reflect the birthday boy's thoughts.
There's one thing I know, that word, you have no power, that right there just crushed. He's like, I'll show you power right
or
now.
Or control. If you say no power or control, I'm like, I don't know if I can handle this.
Control?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, look, that's something me and Talking Doctor speak about all the time. More or less, here's a Cliff's Notes of what we go over. Just because you can't control it doesn't mean it's going to be a bad thing and something you should be afraid of. My response, I hear you, but, which is not productive. He's trying to give me useful advice.
That's because my father-in-law ran a business for a long time. And there were times when he was like, look, if I want it done right, I have to do it myself because while I trust my guys,
yeah,
I know that if there's a certain project I need done a certain way,
yes,
it's not going to get done the way I want it to unless I do it.
Yeah.
But then he had to get to that point where he just kind of let that go and trusted his guys because some of them were really good. So that was but I understand where you're going through there. Adrienne's the same way. She knows I will not do it correctly. Maybe that's on purpose so I never have to do it again. Who knows? But
smart.
Yeah.
By the way, JJ Barea, former NBA champion with the Dallas Mavericks, is going to join the Nuggets as an assistant coach, if you wanted to know that this morning. All right. We got a few different things that we need to go through. And I want to go ahead and start with the Rangers. Obviously, another extra inning game and a heartbreaker at that. Go ahead and give me cut number four, will you please?
Now he advances to third. Here's the pitch, and it's hit high into the air, deep right field. Laureano drifting back onto the track. He's near the wall, and he makes the catch, and that's going to do it. Well, another entertaining ball game, promising there for a while, but the Orioles erupt for four in the top of the 11th, and they win the opening game of this series by the final score of 10-6.
And We can go back to the Adolis Garcia home run because that was a truly amazing moment. We're probably not going to do that right now because at that point, when you saw the emotion on his face and the kind of the like, I thought we were going to win. Also, if you were watching the TV broadcast at all, I love the suggestion from Mike Bacsik that Jacob DeGrom could come up and hit. Also, I appreciate the restraint by Mike Bacsik when he said Jacob DeGrom has a career average of 204. And what he didn't follow up by saying was, which feels like that would fit right in with this lineup. I appreciate that he didn't say that because that's what I was thinking at the time. And instead, you got that Jack Leiter spotting there and everything like that. But, Corey, you were listening when this happened. You played the clip for us and then called us terrible Tolos, which is all
No,
fair.
I did not. No, I just was making sure that our that we all got this because I think it's important. This is an important line from Chris Young.
So, yesterday with the G-Bag Nation, we're going to go to cut number 5. And I think probably what we're going to do is we might start and stop this because
yes, he says a lot.
It's almost 2 minutes long, but it's a very insightful answer. And Alec, I know you heard it, and I think this is important for every single person who's like, you just need to sell already, or you obviously got to buy. Would you not agree that if you listen to this answer, you hear the very clear path that Chris Young has to July 31st? Do you not?
I do, and I kind of like what the morning show was talking about earlier, where if he didn't really speak and we didn't get to hear him every week with G-Bag, it might be like, okay, he's just saying everything that he needs to say, but he's taken so much accountability
yep.
that I just trust everything he says, that he takes everything to heart, and he takes everything personally with this team, so I think it's some really good insight.
Okay, so let's hear from Chris Young and kind of the idea of how you feeling, how you thinking going into the trade deadline.
Yeah, you know, I think less about whether the offense or the pitching has earned it. It's collectively, team-wise, where are we? And in 2023, we were in a really good spot in terms of our record and being in first place and the driver's seat in the division. And, you know, this year, unfortunately, we're 2 games under and we're not in the driver's seat. We're playing catch-up right now. And while I believe in this team and I believe that we can turn it on and when we get healthy, these guys are very capable of being a very good team. The reality is that to this point in the season, we have not seen it with any level of consistency. And so what I'd like to see immediately is us play very good baseball for a consistent period of time.
Stop right there. Stop right there. That line, that word right there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he said what I would like to see immediately. And I don't know if he's gone into the clubhouse and demanded it that way. And I don't know if he should. When it comes to a baseball world and you're in that kind of a clubhouse, this is the expectation. Was he talking through the media? Because I want to see this immediately.
Yeah.
Now, he's telling us.
He said that in the clubhouse.
He's telling the fan base, this is what we need to see. Starting right now, I need to see this. At some point, I need to see consistent baseball at a high level. And if I can't see that, things will change. That's what he was telling us right there with that line. Look, there's a lot of things that we have to go through. But immediately, I need to see a change. Otherwise, and then he gets to the further part of it, of which direction he has to go.
So just real quick before we pick the quote back up, the other thing that he said was the position that they were in, being in first place and everything like that. Because what do you think the Rangers' record was on July 1st 2 years ago?
2 years ago, July 1st, I think, weren't they right above 500?
No, they were, because remember, 2 years ago, they got off to their crazy start.
With 14 over 500?
Yeah, and so they were 40 and 20 at one point. Okay. And now July 1st, they were 50 and 33. But think about that for a minute. That means for most of the month of June,
they were in cruise control.
They
man.
Went 10 and 13. So they weren't playing particularly well.
Right.
But the key is, he said, the position we were in relative to being in first place. They were up by 5 games in the division.
And if you remember at that time, what did he do? Brought all of his advisors, if you will, his panel, brought them all together in a room, sat down and said, do every one of you believe that we can win the World Series?
Yes.
And if you do, let's start figuring out what moves to make. So, Kevin, don't you think right now he's either getting that room prepared or the other room where it goes, all right, we know we can't. What else do we need to start pairing off?
See, I wonder.
I feel like he's.
I agree. I wonder if in 2023, yes, we can win it all was an acceptable answer. Whereas if now you say it, he looks at you and says, tell me in detail why.
Maybe so.
You know?
Maybe so.
Let's go back to Chris Young on the G-Vag Nation yesterday.
And there's still time left to do that. However, you know, we don't have in perpetuity, so to speak, to make these decisions. We don't get till the end of the season to decide whether we're a winning team or not. We have to make these decisions a little bit earlier in terms of what we're going to do to upgrade the team or maybe, you know, trade from some of these pieces that may be expiring contracts or whatever, you know, may not fit in the future. So we do have tough decisions ahead. And, you know, really, I always say it's the team will help us determine the fate and where we're going. And, you know, that's why this weekend was a really kind of a heartbreaker. But that said, there's still time to respond. We've got 3 games with Baltimore here. My hope is that we can win 2 of 3, if not all 3.
Pause. And then they go on. All right. So a couple of things. Obviously,
the weekend was a heartbreaker. He was hoping over the weekend they'd show him.
Yes.
We just beat Seattle. How can I reward these guys? How can I give them a bat?
And then he follows up. Hopefully we can win 2 or 3 against Baltimore. I appreciate kind of the CYA right there. He's like, we win 3. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But like, obviously off to a bad start with losing the first one. And he's about to talk about the rest of the schedule. But the other thing that he said was, whether it's expiring contracts or, and I think this is the bigger category, people who don't fit in the future. And so clearly he's already thought about this. They've already had these discussions. He wouldn't be doing a good job if he hadn't had these discussions.
Let me ask you then. Oh, man. This is actually a longer discussion at this point. Adolis doesn't fit the future, does he?
Yeah. I think, quite frankly, Adolis is one of the people who this is going to be his final
month. You take a potential step back. I'm watching him last night, and until the home run happened, I was sitting there going, oh, my God, this dude's lost his hands. He doesn't have it anymore. The bat's not there anymore.
He keeps tipping his bat, too.
That inside fastball on first pitch that he's swinging at, he can't catch up to it. And I was like, oh, no, that's not good. So that's one thing. But then I'm like, okay, are we taking a step back by going to one of the other outfielders? Or is there an outfielder available that gives us an advantage?
Yeah.
So that's one of the names that kind of pops into my mind at first. But then you start looking around the rest of the team and you're like, is it just the young guys that step into the picture and look like a clear future for them? Or do those guys look like maybe they aren't in this picture as well?
I think it's that one. All right, so let's finish it off from Chris Young. He's going to set up why Seattle was so heartbreaking, why Baltimore is so important, and we'll finish that out.
And then we go on a tough road trip before the All-Star break, and that may determine in a lot of ways what direction we go. But we've got 3 tough games in San Diego. We go to Anaheim, who's been playing very good baseball for 4, and then we finish down in Houston before the break. And if we can have a good stretch of baseball here before the break, you know, I think it could give us confidence that we can go and add to this team in a way that will give us a chance to have a great second half.
So I just want to say,
if they can, he said, I think we can go add to this team.
Yeah. Did you get the feeling
that he wants to?
Yes. That if you're the Rangers players, Corey, and I'm CY, did you get the feeling that he was like, please show me something,
yes,
anything that can make me go build up the team?
Anybody that has a kid out there can recognize this. When your kid wants something and you're like, prove it. And they're like, well, what do I just prove it? I want this so bad. All right. If you want it that much, you need $300. What are you going to do? You're going to ask me for $300? Yeah. Are you going to go earn $300? This is exactly the same feeling. And once they do, you want them to. You want them to have that new electric guitar or whatever it is. You want them to have the cool things. You're just waiting for them to show you that they can again so that you can hold that over their head and say, see, I always knew you could do it. Now do it again and again and again and again and let's win a World Series.
Now, things were moving and shaking yesterday in both football and basketball. That has continued. Miles Turner is on his way to Milwaukee. Alec, I don't know if you saw the numbers. Is it 4 for 104? That was the early look that I saw. Do you know if that is factually accurate?
Shams is reporting 4 for 107. Okay. So pretty close there, but a big money deal for Miles Turner.
Okay. And then Darren Waller is coming out of retirement and the Dolphins have traded for him.
Yes, and Tom Pelissero reports that Waller is turning 33, and he told the Giants this offseason he wants to play again, but only if it's in Miami. So they complete the trade. He's going to sign a new incentive-based deal to make that happen.
I know why. when he was in New York, he said this on a podcast recently. I'm sitting here blocking, run blocking, beat myself up, and I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And he goes to Miami, and he's like, I can run routes. And he can get hurt down there, but I can run routes and get hurt down there.
Yeah.
But I hope it works, because put him on that and that crew. Fantasy players are going to be very happy if they pick him up, if he turns out to be good again.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Dallas Stars reporter Robert Tiffin. And since it's in the morning again, I assume that means he approves, because it's time for breakfast at Tiffin's next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And holy moly, there are things happening. We told you that the Bucks picked up Miles Turner. One of the ways they were able to do that is they're using the stretch provision on Damian Lillard, and they are waiving him. And then that allows you to kind of spread out, hence the stretch, the rest of his guaranteed salary. We can talk about that in a little bit. And before anybody gets too excited about the Mavs should go pick him up, I'm with you, but I would have to imagine he's going to miss all, if not the vast majority, of this upcoming season coming off of the Achilles injury.
He'd be a big shot shooter in the playoffs.
And he's a great passer.
Yeah, he is. He knows how the game is played. So I would be I love the player.
For sure.
I always have.
For sure.
So I'd love it, but I don't know exactly how it fits. I'd love to see it, though.
Right now, let's bring, I mean, look, it's been busy in hockey as well. We got a lot to talk about. Let's bring on Dallas Stars reporter Robert Tiffin, starsthoughts.com. Good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. Good to talk.
Now, I assume, because you wanted to be on in the morning, again, that means you're fine with us calling this segment Breakfast at Tiffin's. Is that accurate?
I think my position is still the same as before. As soon as I start getting breakfast for the segment, then I'll be okay with it.
I think that's...
I can sell the naming rights for a good breakfast biscuit.
I think that's definitely fair. So we're all still absolutely positive it's Gullitson, right? And what is taking so long? Do you think they heard all the NBA news and they're like, let's wait just half a second to make it officially official?
Yeah, all the reports are that that's what it's going to be. Jim Nill was already scheduled to talk to the media at the end of free agency today, so there's every chance that he might also make that announcement today, too. But we will have to wait and see when that happens, although considering the state of free agency right now, that might not take too long, and the Stars only have a couple spots to fill, and the Gullitson news might be much bigger than any other moves that happen.
So one of the things that we kicked around yesterday, and I want to see if you think this is a fair question. Gullitson had so many people had so many great things to say about him in Edmonton. I guess the question that I just have is he best off being the guy next to the guy as opposed to being the guy that's running the show? Because he's had some struggles as a head coach. So do you think that's at least a fair question to ask, that does he have what it takes to be a successful head coach?
Yeah, I think that's always the question, right? When you have someone who's kind of bounced back and forth between an assistant and head coach role. In the NHL in particular, that's pretty common. You see in the NFL too, of course, someone going from coordinator to coach, and occasionally they might drop back down and be a coordinator. But in Gullitson's case, all accounts, and even Ken Hitchcock himself said this a year or two ago in an interview about Gullitson, because Hitchcock very briefly was the coach, the head coach in Edmonton when Gullitson first arrived there as an assistant. So by all accounts, he's learned a lot. He's always one of those guys that everyone raves about just on a personal level, as well as his coaching mind and how he motivates players. So I think typecasting him as, oh, he's either a head coach or he's not. He's either a number two or maybe the potential to be a number one. Multiple teams, including the Stars, already saw potential to be a head coach there. I think those things are still true, even if those stints didn't work out. And you can go back and look at those rosters that he coached both in Dallas and Calgary, and they weren't exactly
agreed.
So, yeah, I think that potential is still there. And then when you combine that with everything he's learned, plus his experience being on a team that's been to the Stanley Cup final the last couple of years in Edmonton, I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic.
Well, when it comes to if it's him as the head coach and you're building a team for this guy to coach, what kind of players is he looking for in this free agency and what can they do? Because I just saw, they're not working any further with Granlund, and I miss that guy already.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of, it was always going to be tough because of the salary cap situation and being able to put players on LTIR with long-term injuries to Wells Sagan, who came back before the end of the year, but then Miro Heiskanen, they had all that space to basically go over the salary cap by Miro Heiskanen's amount. So they were always going to be kind of carrying a roster that couldn't be brought back in full this year. So there was always going to be a bit of a haircut. The Mason Marchment trade was part of that. They had to clear out some space, and that's just a reality. And Mikael Granlund looks like he's probably going to be another casualty of that too, especially because the free agent market is so thin that Granlund is kind of the best center available now. So every other team that cleared a bunch of cap space to sign good players now is saying, uh-oh, there aren't very many left. So Granlund's probably going to have his pick of a lot of good deals. And that's tough for the Stars. They need another left wing. They need to replace that Marchment spot. Maybe Jamie Benn can play up there a little bit. Maybe you can bring a guy like Justin Ristkovian up from the AHL and give him a shot in the top six. Or more likely, I think, they find someone, kind of a bargain deal in free agency today, just maybe a more veteran player to at least start there, and then they can try to give kids a shot there as it goes on. But yeah, Goldson might have most of the roster you see today, I think, is most likely going to be what he's working with maybe one or two more pieces.
Were there any other options? I know you were already talking about Marchment. Were there any other options on the roster that you were like, you know what, they might make a trade or they might sacrifice this player in order to bring Granlund back? Or was it a matter of what you said, weak free agency class was always probably going to make the finances of that not even possible with a trade?
Yeah, my kind of standing theory is the Mikko Rantanen deal and then the extension they signed him to right after that, or at the same time, really, that always kind of had to change their cap plans. That was a big $12 million bomb to kind of throw into their long-term plans. And, you know, as Jim Nill and everyone said at the time, if you can get a superstar winger like that, you get him and then you figure out the rest later. And this is kind of what that looks like right now. They're figuring out the rest later. The other obvious name people have pointed to is Jason Robertson, because he's making a little under $8 million. But the problem is there's a reason he's making that much. Mm-hmm. You know, your cap hits tend to be higher on your good players. So clearing out a really good player who's also scored over 100 points before, that might give you more cap space, but that's kind of the old, oh, hey, that mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A boat's a boat. I got your reference for sure.
Yep.
This is kind of two questions, because it's going to be two questions, but A, how did Florida do all of this then? And then B, how far away are the Stars from Florida? Because I think after we saw the cup, all of us kind of took a deep breath and went, man, we're really far away.
Yeah, and even those two games, if you remember way back to when the Stars played Florida twice over in Finland, it kind of felt like that too. Wow, we're playing a team that just at the time had just won a Stanley Cup, and it looked like it, even with the Stars, you know, being pretty good. Sagan still hadn't gone out for injury yet, but it felt like they were playing a team that was the class of the NHL in those two games. And like you said, watching the finals, it kind of reiterated that point that there's another gear this team needs to get to. The way Florida did it, well, if you look at what they did, they re-signed Brad Marchand, who's 37, to a six-year deal. So good, you know, who knows how that's going to end. I think we actually probably do know how it's going to end. They got Aaron Ekblad, who everyone thought was going to market, to take a huge discount at just about $6 million a year, when he probably could have made, you know, 50% more than that in free agency, especially considering how thin the market is. But that's the thing. When you have, you know, when you're a really good team, and, you know, Dallas, to their credit, we've seen it with Matt Duchene too, taking a couple $3 million deals, you know, Joe Pavelski, and even Jamie Benn, right? He just took a $1 million base deal with some performance bonuses. When you have a really good team that people want to play for, it tends to make your life a little bit easier. It's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And, you know, I think for Dallas, what they have to bet on the most is a little bit of internal improvement. You know, we remember last year they started slow, had some players that had some injuries and things like that. And then a little bit of rejuvenation from a new coach, hopefully squeezing a little bit more juice from the orange. And, you know, they're starting with a pretty good orange as it is. It's easy to forget after the playoffs, but this is still one of the top five teams in the NHL when you look at the roster. I think almost any other fan base would be jealous of what the Stars have.
We're talking with Robert Tiffin, and if you love what you're hearing, and how could you not, mm-hmm. StarsThoughts.com. And even worked in a Family Guy reference. Nice. So I'm just saying, like, there, it's a lot of fun stuff right there. But you mentioned the new coach, and one of the things I want to go back to is it feels like universally everyone appreciates his skill, especially when it comes to coaching up special teams. Is there anything in particular that you've heard, or I guess just kind of seen from his body of work with Edmonton, that you're like, absolutely?
Yeah, something that's really been, that gives me reason to be, I guess I sound a little bit Pollyanna-ish about the hire, and, you know, Pete DeBoer, he got him really far 3 years in a row. I mean, Jim Nill himself said, I can't believe, you know, I'm really making this move on one hand because DeBoer's been so successful, but they had to do it. It had gotten to that point. There was clearly some discontent and everything behind the scenes. It just had to happen. And with Golitsyn, one of the things that he has even said really consistently is that when he first came on board as a younger coach with the Stars in particular, he had a line. I think I probably should send an apology note to Jamie Benn and Brendan Morrow because I tried to chess piece that power play back in the day. Mm. And over coaching is another way you might phrase that, right? And he recently, in that same interview a year or two ago, and I have one of the videos on my site somewhere, but you can find it too if you just search around. But he talks about how, I mean, I guess I should be directing people to my stuff. But,
hey, you know, we're trying to help you out too, Robert.
To yeah. That's important. Yeah.
Marketing is hard. Okay. But the only thing is really, Golitsyn has really come down to this. He has this style he calls road hockey, and he talks about it with the power play in particular because you're working with all these, you know, skilled players. I mean, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, right, two of the best players in the world. And what Golitsyn says is that he has found that your focus needs to be on momentum, keeping the players in motion so that they can basically let their instincts take over rather than trying to execute really set plays where you get guys kind of stationary or just passing the puck back and forth at the point or down the half wall. He's really made an emphasis in Edmonton, who's had the NHL's best power play since he arrived there, yeah, by the way, for like 6 years. He's made an emphasis in, look, just get them moving, get them looking, get them using their instincts, because when you have really good players, if you just get them creating those movements and forcing the defense to move too, you're going to find openings. Same thing as a good quarterback looking downfield, right? If your routes are good, the quarterback's going to see either what he's expecting or he'll see someone else who gets open and be able to make the read there. So that's really encouraging. You have a guy who has coached some of the best players in the world, and Dallas also has some really good offensive players. This isn't a guy who's going to come in and try to impose one way of doing things. He's even said very explicitly, it's not about the system you bring, it's about the system that fits the players you have. So by all accounts, he's going to try to adapt whatever he brings to the roster that Dallas has. And, you know, that's something that I think a lot of maybe older, more veteran coaches wouldn't necessarily bring. They might just bring their kind of signature style. So it'll be interesting. You know, there's some risk that comes with that, obviously, but I think it's an exciting time in a lot of ways, too.
The man is Robert Tiffin on the D&M Leasing Hotline. The site, starsthoughts.com. The motto, lots of great content, find it your damn self.
Yeah, I like that motto.
I feel
it's
like,
strong.
Could that be a potential motto
just
right
read it
there?
All.
Yeah, I don't know why I put that motto in the header. I might want to change it and say it out loud. Man.
Well, we appreciate it very much, and your thoughts have been heard about the breakfast aspect of this, but you always bring great content. All jokes aside, starsthoughts.com if you want to be ahead of the game on really
scoreboard
all of
your
this.
Friends.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the time this morning, good sir.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Now,
and he's a beast.
He is.
Absolute beast.
We like having a little bit of fun with him. But yeah, no, he absolutely knows everything that you want to know that you need to know about the Stars. All right. If you've missed the beginning part of the show, oh my gosh, you've already missed so much. Darren Waller out of retirement. He's getting traded to the Dolphins. And Miles Turner is going to go to the Bucks to facilitate that on a 4-year, up to $107 million deal. To facilitate that, the Bucks are using the stretch provision to waive Damian Lillard. And look, that means that he'll still get his money, but they can kind of, this is actually, the stretch provision is actually really similar to when an NFL team signs that big money deal and you're able to kind of finesse the money over years. Only in this instance, they're like, hey, we'll give you a couple extra years to literally stretch the money out so the cap hit isn't so bad. So Damian Lillard will be out on the market, but before anybody gets ahead of themselves because of his Achilles injury, you got to think he'll miss all, if not most, of this next season.
Yeah, and Kevin, I want to get into a little more of this, but we've just run out of time. So, you know, I think we'll have plenty of time throughout the day to discuss it. But there is a significant point that I think is going to be very important to why I think we could get him.
Ooh, now that's a tease. Really feels like that should be the next segment.
Well,
but unfortunately for you, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day to all who celebrate. Next on the Fan.
Full count, one out. Aiken to Garcia, payoff pitch. Swinging a high drive to left. Is this game tied? It is tied! El Bumpy! Three-run home run to left. 6-6 here in the 10th.
Now, Jared Sandler was excited, almost as excited as Adolis Garcia. I love the fact that multiple people have texted us this morning, Frankel on Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053, that it looked like Adolis Garcia was trying to shield his home after he hit the home run because he was like fired up and doing the hands and everything. And
you need to shield your home.
Yes, it was pretty awesome.
Well, I paint your house.
Even Adolis Garcia feels that way. Now, we're going to get to Baseball Nuggets in a second, but things are happening quickly today. We've already reset the signing of Miles Turner by the Bucks, and they've released Damian Lillard. In the meantime, Chris Haynes said that Giannis is not happy with the Bucks after waiving Damian Lillard. I can almost guarantee you that he got that directly from Giannis himself.
I will say Giannis has tweeted out, Kevin, 52 minutes ago, a picture of himself with his championship hat on, goggles, smoking a cigar, the T-Rex in his lap, and a champagne bottle. And it says, "I don't know what's going on right now, man."
Okay.
And he said, "Mood 100.
Yeah.
So that's what it says right here in the picture. Mood 100. I don't know what's going on right here, man.
Well, so maybe he didn't even need to hear it from Chris Haynes.
Yeah.
But even though he'll probably miss most, if not all of the season, Corey, are we getting Damian Lillard? Are you ready to go ahead and get out in front of everything on this and say that that's going to happen?
First off, I feel, Kevin, you just kind of laid out the plan a few minutes ago about how you can get him on the cheap if he desires.
He's still getting that money. Yeah.
If he's like, I think he's the kind of person that would say, I don't need to get paid this year. Go ahead and let them pay me to play for you this year. I'm playing for you for free. How can I just play? I can see him being that petty.
Yeah,
he's just that kind of, but I also know money's cool and everything. So like that might be missing. However, as the internet likes to do at all things Mavs, which they post a lot of things about the Mavericks.
That makes sense.
At Jones on the NBA tweeted in 2021, for Mavs fans that don't know Nico, he played D1 college ball, has been in a role where he decides which players Nike pursues and elevates. He was Kobe's guy at Nike. Players love him. He knows basketball talent. So much more. Damian Lillard quote tweeted it and said facts. Now, Kevin, at that time, I was in full belief that the Mavericks were going to get Damian Lillard then. So I was like, oh my gosh, it's happening right now. But he likes Nico. That's number one. And where was he for most of his career?
Portland.
What's up there in that area?
Nike.
Damian Lillard's top preference to become the next head coach of the Portland Trailblazers is Jason Kidd. Quote, Jason Kidd is the guy I want, Lillard told Yahoo Sports on Friday night. This was back in the day. Lillard intends to have significant input on the next hire. So he didn't get Jason Kidd then. Do these two connections provide enough for him to make his way to Dallas and just be part of this thing later in the season?
So what I'm hearing is that he wants to play in an organization with Nico and be coached by Jason Kidd. I still don't actually know if he can play next year. Maybe he would give you like a 2-year deal.
Okay,
he's
all
like,
right.
Hey, just kick me a couple million bucks this first year, which is weird that that's like a throw-in. I know for an average human, if somebody came along and was like, I'm going to give you a couple million bucks just to tide you over, and you'd be like, I begrudgingly accept your offer.
Now,
but like in the NBA, Shea just got almost $300 million.
His best year was 3 years ago, 32 points a game. He did take 11 three-pointers a game, shot about 37% from there. There were a couple of years where he shot 40%, scored 30 a night. Last year he was at 25 a night. I don't expect that on this team.
For sure.
I mean, this is a very loaded veteran team already. So I don't expect that, but if you were able to acquire him, it would put another star in that group. But well, does he play enough defense?
I mean,
it's late. It's later in the season anyway.
I would appreciate the passing that he would bring to the team, because there are times where absolutely he is tremendous from three, especially as a volume 3-point shooter. Like, you look back 19 through 21, he was a volume 3-point shooter and hovering around that 39 to 40%. But it all depends on what is he looking for. Like, Damian Lillard, again, I'm going to go ahead and off the idea that he's not going to play next year. Maybe he can, but I would go off the idea that he can't play next year. So does he want to get paid again, which he absolutely can, and I'm sure he would, or does he just say, hey, I want a title. I need a title, so I'm going to pick a team where I think I can win a title. That's kind of what I think it would come down to.
I'd be all right with that.
Yeah, for sure, because I think we're in the mix.
He's one of my favorite players.
Yeah.
You know this, how much, like, he and Vince Carter are right there next to each other, where,
absolutely,
like, they didn't play until Vince Carter played for my team.
Right.
But they weren't playing for my team, and I always admired that player.
Now, right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. We told you it would be a truncated version of it today. Couple of things that you really need to know. Let's go ahead and start with, today is Bobby Bonilla Day, ladies and gentlemen. If you're like, hey, what the hell are you talking about? So Bobby Bonilla set up a deferred contract years ago from the Mets, although he also gets deferred money from the Baltimore Orioles. That's a fun fact.
About $500,000 from the Orioles.
Which is crazy. So the Mets pay him a little bit more than $1 million every July 1st to not play baseball for them, and will continue to do so through 2035. So think about it. He's got another 10 years that he will get this $1 million+ payment, because the Mets wanted to defer, and then I guess the Orioles did as well, so they could use their money elsewhere.
Do you know what the Mets wanted to use their money for?
I think I do, but I want you to tell the world.
So at the time that he signed the 4-year contract, they were like, we just need him to get us over the hump to get a World Series. That's what they were hoping, was that he would be part of that. And that was, they renegotiated in 1999 for this, and then he retired in like 2001. So they kind of knew he was never going to be there for the lifetime of the contract. So how can we do this? So they said, let's spread this money out to other ways. They wanted to use the money from him to invest in a Ponzi scheme by Bernie Madoff.
Whoops!
And they thought, hey, if we put the money here, we're going to make tons of money on this. He'll get his money eventually, but we're going to come out on top with this. Well, guess what, guys? Didn't go down that way.
By the way, sometimes I like to update Corey on things that I'm listening to from the past. Charles Ponzi is actually the person who started the Ponzi scheme. He did this in the midst of Prohibition, in case you were curious. Like, when we decided for 13 years, no alcohol.
Prohibition was in 1999?
No, the Ponzi scheme came about.
The first Ponzi scheme.
Yes.
Gotcha.
From Charles Ponzi came out during Prohibition in the 1920s. And so, yes, it is actually named after. I know sometimes I'll joke about, like, I don't know, what's the guy's name? Steve Toilet? Mm-hmm. Like, the guy who the Ponzi scheme is named after
John
is actually.
Microphone.
Yes. I don't know. That's true. Is actually named Charles Ponzi. All right. So congratulations to all who celebrate Bobby Bonilla Day. Now, if you look at it now, the players who have deferred money. Hey, guess what? Shocker. Numbers 1, 3, and 4 are all the Dodgers. Of course, you're familiar with Shohei Ohtani. He gets $680 million in deferred money. Alec, I want you to ponder this for a second, and it'll make us all feel bad about our lives. You're so good at what you do and so financially viable, you could say, don't worry about it, guys. Give me the $680 million later.
I wish I was that good and that financially stable to do
me
that,
too.
But I'm neither of those things.
Yes.
So good for these people that can willingly do that.
Then there's Freddie Freeman, who will get $4 million per year from 2028 to 2040. So think about how old Freddie Freeman is now, and in 15 years, he'll still be getting his annual $4 million paycheck. Jeez. Also, Blake Snell is on the list at number six. Another Dodgers player. He gets 60 because they know how to work the system.
No, so the Rangers don't?
Well, here's one of the issues with the Rangers. There is not as much of an incentive. Sorry, we're going to nerd out here for just a second. There's not as much incentive to defer your money in Texas. Why do people want to defer their money in California?
Taxes.
Because their tax rates are crazy.
You don't want to pay. You,
exactly.
If you live somewhere else and you get the money there, you pay those taxes.
Exactly. So don't be surprised
if they all move to
Shohei
Texas.
Ohtani is living in Texas or Florida or has like some sort of weird corporation offseas or something that will get that $680 million. If you're in Texas, there's not anywhere near as much incentive now because I'm sure Shohei Ohtani's like, well, without paying the taxes, that's realistically going to be like $875 million actual money. And so he's like, I could save myself almost $200 million. That's actually probably more than that by just deferring the money. Whereas if you're with the Rangers, not as much of a financial incentive to do so.
That is fascinating.
So just wanted to throw that out there. Also, I'm sad that we won't get to talk about this more. Willy Abreu, he hit an inside the park home run and a grand slam in the same game.
Those are my two favorite things in baseball.
Okay. He's only the sixth person ever.
No hitters too.
To do so. It's him. You'll notice the name when you hear it. It's him, Roger Maris, Jim Tabor, Charlie Gehringer, Everett Scott, and Jocko Fields.
Of course, Jocko Fields.
Yeah.
Jocko Fields pulled this off in 1890.
Yeah. Like
we're
we
sure
knew.
About those reputable records from 1890. I just think it's amazing that he's in a class with Roger Maris, but then also this person, Jocko Fields, that obviously
pre-merger.
I'm going to look up yeah. stuff later
pre-merger
about.
Pre-merger, and that was on actual paper.
Yes.
And it couldn't be changed once it went on paper.
I guess that is true because they had that big pen and they're like, dip, 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 dip. And they had to write it out again. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, a segment I gave unreasonable thought to.
You did.
In honor of the return of EA Sports College Basketball Game, what is your all-time college basketball lineup? Let us know. 1990 going forward, your all-time college basketball lineup. Next on The Fan.